It is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. Amen. The Word of God. Proverbs 4 and 23 is our scripture text for a sermon that's titled, What is that in your heart? What is that in your heart? The scripture references this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Our lives, our decisions, how we live, our priorities, who we are, is all based upon what is in our hearts. What's in your heart today? A lonely boy in Kentucky, in a log cabin, would lay by the fireside at night reading books that he had borrowed, and things crept into his heart. He saw visions of great tasks and great people. And Abraham Lincoln became a great leader that our nation desperately needed at a critical time in our history. He was a man that was made by the things that were in his heart. A humble mechanic had a dream and an ideal to make an automobile, which even the poorest man could afford. That man's dream came true, and Henry Ford became one of the greatest industrialists in the world. But he was made, and the things he did was because of what was in his heart, his passion and his desires. The scripture reference that we've read today reminds us of this eternal truth, that we're all made by the things that's in our heart. The artist is made by the art that's within him. The musician is made by that music that's deep inside his heart. And the wrong things in a man or woman's heart can make them a liar or a thief, can make them a bad person, or the right things can make them a wonderful child of God, a devoted husband and mother and brother and sister that God intended us to be, if the right things are in our heart. So I ask you again today, what is in your heart? What is it that's in your heart that dominates your feelings and thoughts and desires and passions? What is it that's in your heart that guides your decisions and causes you to make certain judgments and things about life? Let me tell you some things that should be in your heart as a believer. And the first point of the sermon is that there should be a song in your heart. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you've been born again, if He's forgiven you of your sins and created in you a new heart, a new creation in Jesus, there should be a song in your heart. God pity the person that doesn't have a song in their heart. That sometimes people have a song, but it's the song of disappointment. It's the song of depression. It's the song of lost love. That's not the songs we're talking about. We're talking about the song in your heart that lifts you. The song of hope. Jesus gives us hope, doesn't He? He gives us hope when there is no hope outside of knowing Christ as our Savior. There's a great song that Frank Sinatra sang with a group of kids. Y'all remember it. It's called High Hopes. Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around. Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant. But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Whoops, there goes another rubber tree plant. See, Jesus puts high hopes in our heart. He gives us a sense of hope, a song of hope, a future in heaven. The promises of the Word of God lifts us and gives us hope. The song that's in our heart should be the song of the upper road. In life, we have choices. We either take the lower road or we take the high road or the upper road. David, in one of his Psalms, said that the Lord had lifted him out of the mire, had placed his feet on a rock, and put a new song in his heart. And that's the song we want, isn't it? That new song that David was speaking of. Our feet should no longer be walking the low road. We should be walking that high road, that upper road to greater heights that Jesus has us walking with Him. We all come to a fork in the road. We all make a decision. Either one travels through the mud and the slime of life and finds eternal doom, or one goes up the hill and takes that high road, that upper road with Jesus. It's the road of beauty and joy and hope and usefulness and a hope that leads to eternal glory because we trust in Jesus. When we walk that upper road with Christ, our hearts are full of the songs of the high road, of the songs of the upper road. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweeter frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. St. Francis of Assisi had a great song in his heart. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a great song in our heart. Walking that upper road, it brings within our hearts songs of praise and worship, and we shout hallelujah to our Savior, to our Heavenly Father. The song in our heart should be a song of trust. Where is your trust today? If you look around the world, the world's full of aggressive nations, constantly creating terror. You got radical Islamists that are wanting to destroy America, wanting to destroy Christians and Christianity. Can I tell you, if your hope is in the government, you're going to be disappointed. If your hope is in the Congress, if it's in the Supreme Court, if it's in the office of the president, if it's in anything other than Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. What can we do? There's only one thing we can do. That's to put our trust totally in God. To say, God, my trust is in you. Can I tell you, He's never lost a war. He never fails. Out of chaos and disaster, He brings victory to us because we know Jesus is our Savior. A lady by the name of Louisa Steed was born in 1850 in Dover, England. When she was 21 years old, she came to the United States. And as a young woman, she attended a revival meeting in Urbana, Ohio. And at that meeting, she gave her heart to Jesus, was born again, and became a follower of Christ. She married a godly man named Steed. And in 1879, the family had gone on a beach picnic with their little 4-year-old daughter, a little girl named Lily. Well, Lily wandered out a little bit too far from the beach waters into the depths. And suddenly Mr. Steed, realizing the little girl was in trouble, ran after the little girl and saved her. But in saving the little girl, he drowned. He died that day. The picnic ended in tragedy. And shortly after his death, his wife, Louisa, took little Lily and went to South Africa as a missionary, serving Christ and sharing the gospel. And in those days, she was trying with all she had within herself to trust God again. Even though her husband had been taken, she was trying so hard just to trust God. And there in South Africa, this young woman penned the words to these songs. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. At age 67, Louisa Steed died. But before she died, she penned these words: in the face of difficulties, with simple confidence and trust, we say, our sufficiency is of God. Do you say that today? Can you say, my sufficiency is of God? Oh, may God put a song of trust in our hearts. In our hearts, there should also be a song of satisfaction. Nothing satisfies our souls like Jesus. Isn't that true? Nothing can ever satisfy a heart like Jesus. Years ago, a man had a printing company and had a real unique way of advertising with an unusual trademark. He drew a circle, and in the middle of that circle, he put his name, and under his name, he had three words. He said, I never disappoint. It's a pretty effective marketing tool. Can I tell you, Jesus never disappoints. Jesus never disappoints. He never lets us down. May the song in our hearts today be the song of that upper road, the song of hope, the song of trust, the song of satisfaction. So in addition to a song in our hearts, the second point today is there should be a dream in your heart. There should be a dream in your heart. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 declares, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In some ways, I confess to you, I've always been quite a dreamer. I grew up in a home, as many of you know, a home full of violence and poverty, an absentee alcoholic father. When I visited the homes of my aunts and uncles or my grandparents or folks in our church, I could see what a home was like when the father, the husband, was loving and he was there, part of the family. I would dream as a young boy, I would dream what it would have been like if my dad had come home each evening and had supper with us. What it would have been like if he was there every morning when I woke up. Or he was there on Saturdays to do chores and on Sundays to wake up and take the family to church. I dreamed what it would be like if my dad was, rather than being abusive to my mother, was being kind and caring to her and praying with the family and trusting in God for all of us. But that dream in my heart was never realized. Though my father did accept Christ before he died, I found myself dreaming of what kind of father and husband that I wanted to be. What kind of home I would have as an adult someday. Of being a dad and a husband. And I saw my grandfathers and the examples that they set for me as godly men. And I saw folks on TV like Ward Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver, or Jim Anderson on Father's Knows Best, men that came home every evening and they were with the family. I saw examples of my Sunday school teacher, my Royal Ranger leader, Wayne Word, and what a great man of God and loving father and husband he was. Or my home church pastor, Reverend Wayne Brashear. Great examples to me. You can't become what God plans for you without a dream in your heart. Without a dream that God has placed there. I had painted a picture in my heart of what it would be like of a life as an adult and father and husband of serving Jesus and having my own family that served Jesus and marrying a wonderful Christian girl. Later, in our lives and sharing our lives, in our hearts, God put into our hearts this church, this vision for this church, a very unique place of loving outreach and ministry to senior adults. What an incredible thing it has been for us to see that dream come true. What a blessing it's been to us. I encourage you this morning, keep your heart and keep your life full of dreams. Dreams of service to Jesus. Dreams for your family. Big dreams. Wonderful dreams. The dreams of the future. Dreams of your heart. Those dreams will greatly guide and influence your prayer life and your walk with Jesus, and they'll impact your life. And lastly, with a song in your heart and with dreams in your heart, there should be a name in your heart. When a surgeon was probing for a bullet in the breast of a French soldier who had been wounded in battle, the soldier said to the surgeon, "Cut a little deeper, and you'll find the name of the emperor at my heart." So great was his love for his emperor and leader. A great Italian artist once said, "Open my heart, and you'll see engraved upon it the word Italy." So great was his love of his nation. The name that should be engraved on our hearts is the name which is above every name. That name that should be on our hearts is the name that is the sweetest note in seraph song, the sweetest name on mortal tongue. It's the name of Jesus. His name should be engraved high on our hearts. And when it is, all of the songs in our hearts will be sweeter and all of our dreams will be more wonderful than we could have ever imagined. Because the name of Jesus is a name that's in our hearts. The name of Jesus in our hearts, it's a buffer against temptation. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. The name of Jesus in our heart is a shelter in life's storms. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. The name of Jesus in our hearts influences our goal and our very life's endeavors. In the final analysis, our ultimate heart's desire should be to please Him, to please Jesus who died for us. Paul said these words. You remember these words of Paul? He said, "This one thing I do." What was he speaking of? Knowing Jesus, pursuing Jesus with all of his heart, letting Jesus reign in his heart, sharing the good news of Jesus with all those around him. We can never shine for Jesus nor be pleasing to him until he is the source of all that is in our heart. Until he has first place in our lives, in our thoughts, and who we are as a man or a woman. It's been said that Kipling had the following scripture engraved over the fireplace in the room where he did his work. This engravement said, "The night cometh when no man can work." Day by day, that great poet was constantly reminded that he must be busy at his God-given task. We should be reminded every day of what God's plan is for us. Let us remember that this life is so short. We must redeem the time. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. We must follow the dreams of our heart for Jesus. Matthew 6 and 33 should be our motto. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Can I tell you, your life won't make any sense until you get that part right? Everything will be out of balance. Nothing will seem right until you do the words that this scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God and His Son Jesus with all of your heart. Long for Him, love Him, serve Him with all of your heart. And when you do that, everything else will make sense and everything else will fall in place in your life. I had walked life's way with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasures led, until one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul. I had entered to win in life's mad race, but then I met the Master face to face. I had built castles and reared them high, till their towers pierced the blue sky. I had sworn to rule with an iron mace, but I met the Master face to face. I met Him and knew Him and blushed to see that His eyes were full of sorrow and they were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at His feet that day while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, not else could I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, oh, make me meet to follow the steps of Thy wounded feet. My thought is now for souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again. Ere since one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. Have you met the Master today? Have you met Him face to face? Let's be sure we've all met Jesus face to face. Let's make sure that His song and His dreams and His name is always in our hearts. May we remember the scripture that reminds us, keep your heart. That means guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, whatever it takes. Be diligent to keep what's good and pure, the Word of God and the songs of Jesus in your hearts. For out of it spring the issues of life. Would you bow your heads with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.